This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Stay tuned now as Phil Silvers guest stars on The Beverly Hillbilly.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at tmospodcast.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found.
Welcome to our show.
Just play the hell out of it.
It's got to be focused.
So look what I found.
This is good.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara,
Mike,
Josh Schroka,
Josh,
and Rob Speedwack.
Oh, Rob.
It's a special Jar episode. Now, here's Josh and Rob.
You know, it's funny.
A special Jars episode.
I think it's very funny because, you know, Dude Walker, who is the voice of, like,
everything,
almost every property on the Mike O'Mara Show Network and the nicest guy in the world, I send him copy a couple times a year, and he just reads it and sends it back. I don't know that he pre-reads it, because when I send him the most recent hunk of copy, he says, it's a special Jar episode. Jar episode? He's just like, what is that? But, of course, Jar means Josh and Rob. That's
you didn't leave the question in?
No, I did not. I did not leave it in.
I like that.
But anyway, that is us, a Jar episode. Mike is on a cruise or prepping for a cruise. I think he leaves today.
I thought he left yesterday. Oh, yeah, today, Thursday.
Yeah, and yes. It's for his son's birthday, my godson. And we wish him all the best. It's a good time to get out on the water because it is not pleasant. On the coast. Is it ridiculously hot down there? We're in a heat dome up here.
It's been so hot.
Yeah.
It's one of these things where Florida, you look at the temperature and it says it's like 97 degrees, but it feels like 110.
Would it be okay if I rolled out my annual heat dome joke? Would you like to hear it? I don't know if you've ever heard it. I usually use it on social media, but I can do it live today.
Well, yeah. This show is, it's your show, Rob.
Well, it's our show, Josh. It's always been our show. It's okay. It is so hot outside. I just saw Mel Gibson at 7-Eleven buying a racial Slurpee.
Oh, it's time to update that joke.
We got to find a new racist? Is that what we got to do? I mean, the joke is going on 15 years old.
There's plenty of racists.
Plenty of racists.
You just got to pick who had the modern screw-up.
Okay.
You could go with Tony Hinchcliffe, but that's a couple years old.
Yeah, and he's not really mass appeal, is he?
I think he's pretty mass appeal.
Well, I know, but he's no Mel Gibson.
He's no Mel Gibson.
No,
yes.
No. But I mean, just the very beauty of it is the pun, the racial Slurpee. Did you get a free Slurpee on 7-Eleven, by the way?
No, I boycott 7 on free Slurpee day. I hate
Why?
It. I think it's because any free day of anything is the worst possible day because all the losers come out. A Slurpee is 89 cents.
Yeah, you're right. They're very
and
cheap.
Everybody lines up for them. Just now, like the bring your own bucket.
Yeah, now would you like, do you have like a big batting helmet that you could go and fill with a Slurpee?
No, that's why I get irritated because people are like, I'm going to be the funny guy that brings in this toilet I found in the garbage can.
It's not that funny, actually, guys.
No, and people ruin everything.
They do. Yeah, people do. Tucker ruins it. Like I was telling you about this dog in my family. He's bitten like six people in my family. He's a total jerk, this dog, Tucker, little rat dog. And it's, you know, we just sort of accept him now and we just say, well, okay, but Tucker ruins everything. So, you know, free people ruin everything. People ruin everything. So you know, I haven't been able to eat a lot of Slurpees. I would love to find a place that consistently stocks a sugar-free Slurpee. I would be all over that.
I found I enjoy the Slurpees when I go to the movie theater.
Yeah.
Except they're a pain to, like, because you get those air pockets. And when it's dark in the theater, it's a pain to deal with that.
I am when I get started, I am a Slurpee addict. Now, this is funny. When Carrie was expecting Julia, she was addicted to cherry Slurpees. I mean, I had to get her one, almost like a sitcom, like with a lady on a sitcom that needed pickles and ice cream when she was pregnant. Carrie was addicted to cherry Slurpees when she was expecting Julia. And here's the weird thing, and this is what makes me think that there is some logic to those addictions. Only for the 9 months that Carrie was pregnant did she have an aversion to fish. She wouldn't eat salmon. And salmon is like a real go-to, and we eat it probably once a week. She wouldn't touch it. And then as soon as she had Julia, she was fine. But to this day, Julia won't touch seafood. Isn't that weird?
That's weird.
I mean, just like that was like Julia's little personality trait.
She had enough. Yeah.
Manifesting. Anyway, back to Slurpees. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Well, I'll tell you, for Slurpees in our house, I get Slurpees generally only for one reason. If Kelly has a headache.
Yeah. You want to have a headache too, so you drink the Slurpee fast?
No, a Slurpee will clear a headache.
Really? But not if you drink it too fast.
Well, because you get the cold and the sugar all at once.
And I guess caffeine if you're getting like
and
a
the
Coke.
Caffeine.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get whenever she has a bad headache, I'll go and pick up a Coke Slurpee. Mm-hmm. And because I'm there getting one for her, I might as well get one for myself.
I understand. Do you ever mix flavors?
No.
Oh, I love cherry and Coke together. Oh, so good. So good.
I don't even touch the other nozzles that are not Coke. If Coke is broken, I just leave.
If broke is coking, you leave. We have actually, you know, I cheat because I don't have a go-to 7-Eleven in Leesburg. If I want to go to 7-Eleven, I've got to go into town. And it sounds like I'm going into the city. No, it's not like Broadway in 1960. But the place for me is a Sheetz that's actually on the way home.
Okay.
And
I'm very happy with Sheetz.
Sheetz is a great outfit.
But aren't they a Pepsi place?
That's the problem, is that they don't have Slurpees. They have like something that sounds like Slurpee.
Yeah.
And the what they have, yeah, the Pepsi is okay. The cherry is great. The you know what's a good mix is cherry and Mountain Dew Slurpees together. Great. But I know that 7-Eleven will do a sugar-free Slurpee, and that's great for someone like me that's watching his sugar intake, but I need to find one that has that consistently offers it. That's the problem. Sheetz, not good. They have that McDonald's thing. Is usually if they have four nozzles, two of them aren't ready.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. I saw at Wawa the other day.
Yeah.
Great outfit. In their Slurpee knockoff, they had a Sprite flavor, which I've never had before.
I bet that's great.
But I was very intrigued. I just was not in the mood for a Slurpee.
The problem, the last time I went to a Wawa was when I was working with another podcast company. Downtown in Washington, D.C. And I went to the Wawa. It was a hot day. And when it's hot in D.C., you can go ahead and add just like 10 degrees.
Oh, and that's that horrible Wawa.
Yeah, it is
like
horrible.
On the corner?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
But I went in and without thinking, I got the equivalent of like the Big Gulp Slurpee. Because, you know, in the burbs, that's $1.29 and you're good. You know, you change back on $2.
Yeah.
It was nearly $6 downtown for a
That's
Slurpee.
Ridiculous.
And you know, I would have just said keep it. But you know, me, I was you know hitting it pretty hard on the way from the nozzle to the cash register. It would be like shoplifting if I didn't buy it. But it's too expensive. What are you looking at there? You're looking at water and sugar, frozen. That's it. So I don't know.
The
Slurpee's a great thing. I love it.
It is. It's great. I'm just not going to line up for a free one.
Yeah. Now, if you go to – let's take this one notch deeper. I know this isn't as important as a hot dog discussion, but this stuff has to be talked about.
I think I'm enjoying this. I think other people will as well. And whoever asked in the chat, do you eat a Slurpee? No.
No, you drink
That's why
it.
You get a straw. It's not
exactly.
a frosty.
Yeah. And it's – I mean, I know it's technically a spoon straw, but it's barely a spoon. It's got that little thing on the end. And you don't even get a spoon straw at Sheetz. It's just a longer straw.
And really, the spoon straw is really just to break up the Slurpee so you can suck it up.
Exactly. Suck it up, Josh. Come on. Suck it up. So next to at Sheetz, there's the, let's call it a four-nozzle machine. And didn't Mike kind of buy a Slurpee machine for like 10 minutes and then return
it? Yeah, he got that ninja thing. It was a slushy machine.
Yeah, but I mean, that's technically, it would have worked, right?
I don't know, because I keep seeing ads for another one where you just dump a soda into it and no other ingredients, and it just makes a Slurpee. And apparently you can dump any liquid into it, and it just makes it into a Slurpee.
Well, that means, I mean, if it's any liquid, you could play some nasty pranks on people.
Then you'd have to throw the whole thing out.
Especially the day after asparagus. But I was always under the impression that the magic behind the Slurpee was that it was a frozen carbonated beverage, that somehow they inject air into the freezing process. Are you under the same impression as
well,
me?
Well, I assume it's the carbonation from the soda.
Right.
But there's something where, and that's something where it has to have that little thing that spins, the little stick inside.
Well, here's a true fat guy knowledge is that It is a non-quiescently frozen confection. Now, something that's quiescently frozen means it's frozen without agitation. Think a popsicle, a fudgesicle. Okay. It's just in a mold.
Yes.
Ice cream is non-quiescently frozen because it's stirred constantly while it's frozen, and a Slurpee is the same way. But I know I'm not a Diet Coke guy. Now that I can't have my elixir of life, Coca-Cola, I've been drinking Coke Zero. I think it's better than a Diet Coke. It's closer to
Coke.
It is. But people talk about a crunchy Diet Coke. It has like a bite to it. And I can feel that. Like a Coke is best at McDonald's, right?
It's great. Colder in a bigger straw.
Yeah, it's great. But if you get a Diet Coke at McDonald's, it's got like that sort of sharpness to it. And I think a Slurpee also has sort of like a sharpness to it. Like, and I wonder if that is because they're carbonating it somehow or putting carbon dioxide within the actual thing. Because when a Slurpee melts and you're drinking just Slurpee juice, it's not the same. Doesn't taste the same.
It's not. It is something about the air.
Yeah. But what I wanted to get to at the sheets, which is... go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Real quick with Slurpees. The little agitator thing that spins.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that technically be the same way as if you're making like whipped cream?
Yeah. It's a dasher.
Where you're trying to... Well, no. But doesn't that thing spin to add air into the process? So it's doing the same thing where it's spinning to add air into the frozen Slurpee.
I don't know if it's adding air as much as it is making it not be a solid block. Because, I mean, if it was a solid block, it's going to mess up your nozzle. And Daryl Lewis is right. Mike knew a four-nozzle machine at AU. Yes, he did.
Mike would be so irritated at a 10-minute discussion about the details of Slurpees.
Okay, so let's move off Slurpees. If you go to Sheetz, there's the four nozzle, the four banger, you know, dispenser.
Right.
I'm thinking you probably got a Pepsi, cherry, Mountain Dew, and blue raspberry, which does not exist in nature.
Yeah.
But next to it, there is like another line of drink dispensers, maybe 10 or 11 of them that are different flavors. But they're like, if I don't want to sow my AIDS too bad, but they're like slush puppies. They're a different texture.
Oh, I do like slush puppies. Slush puppies is a lot more ice.
Yeah, ice. It's like ice suspended in a syrup, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they've got weird flavors like grape and peach and strawberry. Yeah,
it's an old Heinz product.
Yeah, exactly. I think they finally closed the Heinz in Easton, Maryland. I think it was the last Heinz I'd ever seen.
Well, there was a Heinz still in Arnold, Maryland, when I left, right across the street from Red Hot and Blue. I don't know if it's still a Heinz, but when I left, it was there.
Now, the best thing about Heinz, because it was called Heinz Dairy Store, it was a poor man's 7-Eleven.
Hey, their ice cream's great.
Oh, Heinz Cherry Vanilla Ice Cream, one of the best ice creams ever made.
They got a chocolate peanut butter that I would grab.
But are you familiar with and I think that the slush puppy machines that they have at your sheets, those look like what the Ninja might look like because they're more open.
Yes, yes.
So you're familiar with the machine.
Yeah, and at the 7-Eleven here, they've got a thing that looks like that, but it's like frozen lemonade.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now that brings us, wow. I'm no grand fan of Chick-fil-A because they ruined my Costco parking lot. But their half lemonade, half ice cream product.
Yeah, the ice dream.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, I would, after I take my diabetes meds, I might try one of those.
We once did a TMOS Extra about Costco.
Yes.
Why have we not done one about 7-Elevens and Wawa's and Sheetz?
I think we just did. I mean, we've done 13 minutes. This is essentially an extra.
But we never got out of the Slurpee aisle.
You're right. Well, I mean, now that I don't drink. I guess the main reason to go to 7-Eleven would be a Slurpee, maybe a hot dog. But, you know, we've covered hot dogs before.
We have.
And I don't, I don't want to get into this deep, but I don't like the conversion of the 7-Eleven where now you pull your own roll out of the drawer and you have to serve yourself.
I don't like
that either. It's probably more hygienic.
And the rolls, they changed something with the rolls rolls aren't as good.
No, they're tough. I mean, I'm sure that these rolls would last a long
time.
They're
dry, and they're in their little pouches.
Yes.
No.
No. 7-Eleven, do better. Do better. Sugar-free Slurpees and fresher hot dog buns. That's all we want.
You know what I get every time I'm at Sheetz?
Diarrhea?
I'm rarely at Sheetz.
Okay.
But I'll get lunch or whatever when I'm up your way.
Okay, thank you.
And I, every time, because see, I grew up in Maryland without Sheetz.
Yeah. Well, so, Sheetz is relatively recent to even this area. They're a recent, and I think they, what they do is they like to put in their tent stakes. They charge cheap for gas. They get you hooked. And then they put gas prices back up. I think that's their method.
Okay, like a Buc-ee's type.
Yeah, exactly.
But in I go to their little bakery section, and they have these peanut butter no bake cookies that I grab every time.
Something that like you'd make in Boy Scouts.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's like oatmeal and peanut butter and chocolate, and it's just a blob. But I don't know where else I've ever seen them, and they have my sheets, so I get them every time.
It's you know, something for everybody and everybody for something. That is is it like the cookie with the with Chip, the kidnapper from a Search Party? Is it like one of those what are they called?
Oh.
Sticky whatever in the third season of
I don't remember a cookie. We can talk about our new obsession.
Yeah,
Search Party.
Let's go ahead and talk Search Party here
on
because
Netflix.
It's for a show that is I think started like 10 years ago. It had a pretty decent run because five seasons spread out, but it's not by any means a new show. I found it because Carrie watched it by accident and didn't like it, and I stayed with it. That's the whole reason I watched it. But what I'm referring to, so I can sort of reverse engineer this segue to let you prove to know that I'm actually trying here. Remember, and he, not my phrase, but in the movie they call him Chip the Twink, the one who kidnaps. Don't you remember his face was on?
Oh, yes. Yes. He was on like
cookie,
the oatmeal cream pie.
Or an oatmeal thing. Yeah. And it was called the sticky something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Like Little Sticky or something.
Yeah. Little Sticky. I would buy one of those at Sheetz. Absolutely.
That's just a Little Debbie knockoff.
It is. It is. But it was a great plot line. Okay. Go ahead.
I want to talk about Search Party, but I don't want to give it away because you got into Search Party. You brought it to the show. Kelly and I started watching it, and we're now five seasons in.
You were not an enthusiastic supporter. Your first way to take me down, I said, it's not that old. You said, when they talk on the phone, how do they talk? I said, they have iPhones. It's not ancient.
Yeah, well, that was my question, not to put you down, but that's how I can judge TV and movies with how old they are.
Well, maybe I'm just sensitive.
And how dated they look. But
I like Joseph Zora McBride says this is a guaranteed future best of with we're talking Wawa Slurpees and peanut butter.
If you can't relate to that, I don't know what to tell
folks,
you.
Folks, this is the show. I'm sorry. I mean, if you're doing a jar episode, you're gonna get this.
And and this is the Producers Club.
The Producers Club because we had an open.
No, you're right. You're right. If you want more like this, the Producers Club is pretty close.
Yeah. Oh, before we totally close the door on 7-Eleven, where do you weigh in on the breakfast bite? The preformed sausage-like hot dog that tastes like Jimmy Dean sausage.
I skip the breakfast bite. I go to the other rollers. I go to the Monterey Jack and chicken taquito.
What about the chemically formed hamburger that is shaped as a tube?
I don't like that one as well. That one also, I love their hot dogs. I love a classic big bite.
Yeah, I do too.
Those things creep me out.
From Oscar Mayer. Yeah, I think that if you were to take a standard tube-shaped 7-Eleven hamburger tube, it could tell stories. It could probably tell you about the first Trump administration because it's been around a while.
I would like to stay in a 7-Eleven long enough to see who takes that log.
I've done it. I have. I'm never proud of it, but I've done it. But I like the breakfast ones. Okay, back to Search Party.
Okay.
I was first intrigued with it because I watched the first episode with Carrie, and she didn't like it, and we moved on and watched something else. And then I went back and watched it, and I love the fact that it's basically the story of four Brooklynite millennials that are without redeeming qualities. There's Dory and Drew and Elliot and Portia, and they're all horrible in their own way.
They are.
I mean, there's really not a redeeming quality. And once I embraced the fact that they are emphasizing that these are horrible people, that's when I started liking the show. I loved how bad they were.
All right, so that's very similar to my take where I followed your directions, and I watched the first episode, and I said, But this is not a good show.
Right,
and
right.
I said, but Rob likes it, so I'll give it a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing we knew, we were halfway through season one, and we turned and we're like, why are we watching this show? It's
because
not good.
Everybody is despicable.
Well, and I realized the writing of this show is so good.
Yeah.
Where they play into, they don't tell you these are horrible people. They emphasize it by how they act. Where and, they don't think they're bad people.
Right. It's these, as outlandish and over the top as these characterizations are, not one person on this show would surprise you if you met them walking down the street. These are the people of today. These are the people, like this opening scene, when they have just a shred of humanity. The first thing that sets the plot in line is that someone they went to college with is missing. And most of them don't care. As a matter of fact, Elliot, who is just a very colorful character, says, oh, I remember her. She sucked. And they say, why? I don't know. She just sucked. But they're worried that she's gone. But the whole time, if I had to choose the character I hate the most, I think it would be Drew, because he is so ineffectual at everything he does. While they're talking about a person missing, while they're talking about someone whose life is in danger, all he keeps saying is, I think I need more ketchup. Honey, can we get more ketchup?
Well, Drew is irritating. But Drew, again, it's perfect writing where he is the guy that just goes along with the crowd, gets pushed around, does whatever they tell him to do. He's not happy about it ever.
No, he's never happy.
So Drew is great. Drew is not my – Drew might be up there, but he's not the one I hate.
I will give you this. The hatred comes in waves. Different people are different, are hateable for different reasons.
It changes throughout the show.
Doug T. Rialt says, four New Yorkers without redeemable qualities like Seinfeld? No.
No.
Worse than Seinfeld people, because at least people in Seinfeld had jobs. Even the weird jobs that Kramer went to and from, these people don't even work per se.
They've all got jobs.
Sort of.
It starts with everyone having a job.
Yeah.
And it ends with everyone having a job, I believe.
Well, not really. It sort of ends up. You're not to the end of season five yet. I'm not going to spoil it.
It also does an interesting thing where every season has a different vibe, like it's a different style of TV show.
They reinvent themselves. I would say season one is like a procedural, almost like a NYPD type detective show.
It's a detective show. It's a let's go find the missing girl.
Right. The second episode is, what would you call it? The second season.
The second season is more of...
almost like a caper. Like they've got something to...
It's the first one was like a... find someone. The second one is a close the case.
Yeah, it goes from being a almost like a detective show to being a murder show. Then the third season, it's a courtroom drama.
Yeah,
and the fourth season is sort of like a mental, a psychological drama, which is really weird and upsetting. And then the fifth season, which you haven't finished yet.
We're back in the fourth season to like a crime, who did it type thing.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole, but with her being weird. Tortured. And then the fifth season kind of lost me because I'm not a zombie guy. I don't like zombie dramas.
Oh, it's, so I haven't gotten to any point where it feels like zombies, but it's definitely the fifth season has more of a horror type setup where it's not a parody is the problem. It does a great job with the writing where it's not a parody, but it definitely
it does it right. It's five. It's like five different series that are somehow stitched together. My favorite thing about season five is, and you'll finish it probably in about 20 minutes because you're almost done with it. But season five, to me, the problem is that it gets really outlandish. But it's saved by the fact that you're so invested. You've watched 40 episodes with these characters. These characters really seem to be having a blast by the time they get into the fifth season.
That's why I recommend it to people, because it is constantly outlandish.
Yeah.
But somehow it's believable with these characters.
And are you constantly surprised by the stars that show up without any sort of setup?
Season five has Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum. You get John Waters, Susan Sarandon.
Oh, I forgot about Waters.
Mike's cousin, Ann Dowd, is in it, has a big role. And these people just happen to show. Oh, and the guy, I can't think of his name, but from The Princess Bride, that says, poison the person of when death is involved.
Yeah, the inconceivable
Wallace
guy.
Shawn, inconceivable. His name is Wallace Shawn. And these little characters that come and go,
That's when I found out Kelly had never seen The Princess Bride.
Oh, you got to get her to see that.
Because she didn't know who that guy was.
Yeah. Mrs. Ben Stiller, who played Marsha Brady in the Brady Bunch movie, Christine Taylor, who is still gorgeous and funny in this, because
she's
shallow as any. The whole thing is a tribute to shallowness.
It's all the writing, because I hate everyone in it. The main character, Dory, I hate the most.
Oh, she's so detestable.
Because she drives me crazy every episode, and I'll watch like 5 or 6 episodes in a row, and then I'll turn to Kelly and be like, why are we watching this show?
Yeah.
And it's because it has completely sucked me in.
Yeah, it is so well realized, and without getting too deep, it is a really biting comment on everything that's going on today in media.
Without
beating you over the head with it. Have you gotten to where they're Jeff Goldblum, who plays Mr. Tunnel, and they've randomly selected the 7th biggest influencers in America, and they've put them together? Have you seen this part yet?
I've seen them go to dinner with Jeff Goldblum was the last
episode. Okay, so you're almost to this point. They do such a great job of doing a satire of people that are influencers that it'll make your head hurt. It's so great. There's a science guy. There's a dance guy. There's a guy that dresses up as dragons and things like that. It's just like everything you've seen on TikTok is represented.
Elliot gets a job on a conservative news station. It's clearly a parody of Fox News.
Oh, and that's Chloe Fineman from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Chloe Fineman's in it.
She's great, too.
And the two of them do such a good job that you're like, it's clearly making fun of this, but it's doing it in a smart way.
Now, what is so great about it is that Elliot...
I don't think we're spoiling anything, are we?
No, it's 10 years old. We haven't given you any plot turns.
Even if you want to start it today,
you'd still
you
love
should
it. We're not
spoiling anything. We're talking about it because this has been our obsession the past 2 weeks,
and for a 50 episode show, you can watch it in 2 weeks
and you'll be 30 minute episodes,
and you'll love every bit of it. Elliot is a very flamboyant homosexual character and a funny one. I'd say all told, most of the jokes stem from him. Most of the funny jokes. And I don't know, we're emphasizing how funny the show is.
The show is hilarious.
It's hilarious. But he gets brought on to defend his lifestyle and the fact that he is a professional liar. I won't go into it, but it's so great. And he's going eye to eye and toe to toe on this conservative broadcast. And then the guy that runs the network says to him, you know, it's better when you two are both agreeing. So in the next episode, he becomes conservative.
Right.
He just totally changes his entire viewpoint to be successful. He manufactures Elliot guns.
It's clearly a Tucker Carlson parody, because he has worked at MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News.
Yeah.
He's made the rounds, and you just change for the TV station.
Exactly. He is so money-driven that it's just like, okay, yeah, that's what we'll do now. And then Portia, just the struggling actress who can't get anything right.
I'll tell you, the first season, because clearly you have to start the first season because you'd be so confused if you jumped into
I'd say the first season, in addition to being a detective, it's a groundwork. I mean,
third season, I'm turning to Kelly and be like, how are we still dealing with something that should have been resolved in the first season?
Exactly.
And the entire show is constant callbacks. But in the first season, I was distracted somewhat because the the other star for the first season is Ron Livingston.
Yeah, yeah.
And his voice is so distinct to Office Space.
Yep.
That it seemed like he was playing the same character.
Yeah. He plays a private, what's his name? Keith something. It's Keith.
Keith. Keith something, the private investigator.
And he's fantastic and he is mysterious. There's just so many great, and one of the reasons I was first sucked in is who plays Dory is, I'm sure I'll get her name wrong, Alia Shawkat? Is it something like that?
Maybe from
she played Maybe from
Arrested Development,
which is one of my, this will shock you because it's in color and it's not from 40 years ago. It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
There's a lot it's of very the, good, the construction. Except for the new season.
Yeah. That last season was mishandled. But the ability of Arrested Development to do callbacks from two seasons before.
That's true. It has that feel.
She is, Shawkat is one of the producers here. So I'm wondering if that. But just little things like, and I won't give you the backstory, but there is a reason that Chloe Fineman gets hit in the head with a book falling from a building.
And you don't find out it happens, and you find out what happened like 10 episodes later. It was the next season, maybe even.
It is so well stitched together that I will forgive them and the fifth season.
You are 100% right. This has Arrested Development written all over it.
It does. It's much darker.
The style of humor, the idea of it's outlandish, but in this world, it makes sense.
The thing about it, the thing that Arrested Development has an edge is that you always, even with moments of maybe a little bit of variance, you always feel sorry for Jason Bateman because he's just, you know, surrounded by chaos and all of this. But there
this
is no
that stable.
There is no sympathetic character in this show. So I say with an emphatic, go do it. This is the best show I've found on television through accident, or by accident, I should say, since 11/22/63, which I loved as well.
Yeah, I'm so thankful you found this. I will tell people, give it 4 episodes.
Yeah.
They're 30-minute episodes.
Takes no time. And they
gonna,
move.
You are going to want to hate this show, the first episode.
Yeah.
But I've
watched it so much, Josh, I almost upgraded my Netflix to get rid of that middle commercial break. But I needed some time to go to the bathroom.
That's my Tubi. I get commercials on Tubi and on Hulu. I don't get them on Netflix.
Oh, Rockefeller. That's nice.
Right.
But I understand. So do watch this. And you know what? Drop us a line. Let us know. Write something on the Facebook or even email us. Let us know what you think about it. I'd like to think that I still have... I know I'm not a social influencer with my thumb on the pulse of America, but I think this is something. I really do.
Rob, we have an opportunity to completely spoil this show.
We won't.
If you No. We do a show that spoils movies.
Yeah, we spoil movies from 1950, though.
This is 10 years old. We could go over there and have a whole spoiler discussion over on Hicks Nicks, a breaking down Search Party.
Oh, you know what we would call it? Hicks Sticks Netflix. People are watching.
No, because last time we did Hicks Nicks Netflix, it was horrible.
You're right. The name of the show is Search Party.
Yes.
And that sounds almost like a Motown album from 1980, doesn't it? We're going to the Search Party.
Yes.
But I give it 5 stars out of a possible 5.
I really do too.
I really love it.
I hated episode 1.
Yeah.
And
you will find, what is it? I forget who it was. It might have been the older George Bush that said, "I wear your scorn as a badge of honor." That hatred is what will keep you coming back.
100%, yes.
And I don't want to spoil anything, but the whole Susan Sarandon plotline where, I won't tell you why, but the character of Portia dresses up as the character of Dory and gets recognized as her, it's surreal and so funny. It's just, okay, we got to stop because you actually watched a real network television show.
Rob, the scene you're talking about.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that whole scene is the car chase.
The car chase.
I sat there and I was like, please do this for the whole episode. Enjoyed it so much. And the ending of it was perfect.
And tacking on to it, here's $1,000. I want all of your gas.
Yes.
You say, you want me to fill up your tank? No, I want all of your gas.
Yes. So, but All right, that's enough search party because we will spoil it if we keep talking.
Yeah, we can't talk. I might watch the first season again, though, because I enjoyed the ride so much.
That is our gift to you. Yes. You need to go watch this.
Happy days. That is now, America has just turned 250 years old, and this is our birthday present to America. Now, you said something shocking, that you watched something on television, one of the networks, and you watched it live last night. Who does this?
Well, I had a few things going for me. It's All-Star break, so there's no baseball.
Okay.
So I don't watch the
ESPYs. They don't run like best of games or anything?
No, they do the ESPY awards, like the ESPN awards.
That's no good.
So there's no baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my head, my week is all screwed up because I've taken Kelly to the airport this morning.
Yeah, and what time did you get up this morning?
3:15, which I realized.
Good for you.
Hey, I realized with a 9 a.m. show, I'm up about the same amount of time I normally am for a 3 o'clock show.
It all shifts around. Exactly.
It all works out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And yesterday was a stressful day, not here on the show. We had two great shows. But before show, I had to do my other job, and that was stressful. So
And 3 p.m. starts are very different because when you get up and the first thing you do is the show, you're in a perfect mindset. But if you want to get stuff done and be ready for a show at 3, it messes with your mindset.
It does.
It makes a great energy. It's just different.
The bonus show was great yesterday, and I'm glad that's going to be out tomorrow. But it had stress energy, I guess is the best way to put it.
But I will say that what was great, it was stress energy that was relieved well before the end of the show.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it's not like we were jaw clenched the whole time. And I think a lot of stuff was resolved. But that bonus show drops at 9:45 Eastern tomorrow. Really try to drop it in and listen before Producers Club.
Rob, let's fix the 9:45. Let's start putting the bonus show out at like midnight.
No, but you see, here's the thing, Josh. You have to do it at 9:45 so people think we recorded it live.
Yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, we used to have a guy that was really important.
Yeah, yeah.
It was no. Okay, I will go in and alter it. We'll drop it at midnight.
Let's drop it at midnight.
Yeah.
That way it's there for your morning commute.
Exactly.
And we can just do that from now on.
Yeah. I see. This is almost like an episode of Producers Club.
It is, because that was all my notes to talk about Friday.
Oh, now we don't have anything for the show. We'll have to go back to Slush Puppies.
That's not a problem. No. I'll go do the show from the 7-Eleven. Right, just have one camera on that little hamburger roll.
Exactly.
But so I was very stressed. I also didn't realize it until dinner time, but I had nothing to eat all day.
That happens with the 3 o'clock show.
Well, the 3 o'clock show is, and I, like I said, I was out of I was out at the other job, and I got home at 2:45, enough to plug in my computer and hop on.
Right.
After that, I realized I didn't eat anything, so I sat down, had a great dinner, and then I said, I'm having one of these THC drinks with dinner because I need to relax.
Exactly.
That might have set up with part of this. Yeah, I grabbed a can of Soul. And then I moved over to the couch because everyone else was packing for their trip.
Right.
And then they had to run to the store to get stuff. So
you should know that Josh is a bachelor for the foreseeable future. So now would be the time to slip into his DMs.
I'm told they're coming back.
Eh, you know, it could happen. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
It's 9 o'clock and I'm sitting there and there's nothing on. I don't know what to watch. I want to watch Search Party, but Kelly's not available, so I can't watch Search Party.
Oh, and by the way, about Search Party, I like gauging. We haven't even mentioned the character of Chantal, who is really the linchpin of the whole plot. Her mouth gets strokier and strokier through the show. She's a very funny character. But go ahead. I'm sorry. So you don't watch Search Party.
I don't watch Search Party. I did tell Kelly if she leaves on the trip and we don't finish Search Party, I'm going to finish it without her. So I will be finishing it tonight.
Okay, good.
But so I turn on the TV and I'm like, oh, I think the president's supposed to talk tonight. I'll turn that on and check it out.
Okay.
It's because mentally I thought it was Thursday because we did the bonus show.
Oh,
and
that's right. And
because Kelly was leaving the next day, I felt like it was the end of the week.
Isn't he having trouble getting network clearance for his speech?
I saw that none of the networks want to carry it tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
That's sad, right? Don't do it.
Yeah.
No. Let's move on. So the president was not on.
The president was not on. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's today's Wednesday.
Right.
So I'm like, well, let me see what's on. And I flipped the channel because I still pay for YouTube TV.
Yeah.
Where all I watch on it is news and sports.
All I watch on YouTube TV is, I bet you can guess, Turner Classic Movies. Yeah. That's it.
my TV right now, it's on the little news grid that shows the four stations, and that's what it's on most of the time.
Okay.
It's a ridiculous waste of money.
Are they talking about a rating surge for the show Search Party? It says 10-year-old show, number one in ratings.
We've got talk about Trump's speech tonight. We've got poor air quality somewhere in Cleveland. And then we've got two stations on commercials.
Is your t-shirt referencing the pizza place in Toy Story?
Oh, it is.
Pizza
Planet? This is my Disney World shirt.
Well, you're almost as current as me, as I'm wearing a classic MTV shirt.
So. I have picked up a few MTV products and flipped them clothing-wise. Pretty popular.
Yeah, I bet. Well, yeah, you know, I used to work for Viacom, so whatever.
So I flip over, and I flip over to Fox.
Yeah. Channel 5, as I call it.
And I'm getting it just at the start of a show called Nation's Dumbest.
Is this like an 8 o'clock time slot or 9 o'clock?
This is 9 o'clock, I believe.
Oh, okay. Full prime time. Is it a game show?
It is a game show.
Okay.
And I stick in because I said, hey, I used to enjoy Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Jeff Foxworthy, yes.
Yeah, because so I said, I bet I'm smarter than these people.
Yeah.
So
you spend your entire life searching for someone you didn't know in college, you might be a Search Party fan.
Right. So I quickly realized this is all celebrities because you really can't have a game show where you're going to call some random person the nation's dumbest person.
Okay, here's where I jump in. Because I watch Channel 5 in the morning, so I probably should have seen this promo, but I haven't.
Right.
Are they celebrities or are they like celebrities?
I think it's a decent list as far as TV game show.
Can you give me
celebrity? I've got the list right here.
Okay, I'll tell you. I'll give you a ding and a buzz based on who I like. Okay,
Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, absolutely a ding for him. Yeah.
Ice tea.
Yep, very good and refreshing.
John Hader.
Oh, Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah, I was thinking Bill Hader for a second. Sorry.
Friend of ours.
Yeah.
Steve-O.
I'm sorry. You know what? He's great, and he's a great interview, but I don't know that he's game show material.
Well, remember, this is a list of dumb people to see if you're the dumbest person in the nation.
I'm not bringing intelligence into it. I'm bringing into celebrity. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, see, I think they did a good mix of different types of celebrities.
Can everyone agree on it, even the boss?
After Steve-O, we have Carmen Electra.
No.
I didn't know she was still alive.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's she looking?
Fine.
Order. Great. That's a nice high praise, Josh.
Jojo Siwa. I find as the most annoying person on TV.
Yeah, I can't deal with that.
Andrew Yang.
Help
former
me.
Presidential candidate.
Oh, that guy. I like him.
He's really smart. I like him.
Well, I would think he'd be pretty smart, yeah.
Dr. Drew.
You know what? He just needs a check. That's what he needs, yeah.
L. King.
Larry King?
E-L-L-E King, who I haven't verified, and I will check right now.
Yeah.
But Kelly tells me that is Rob Schneider's daughter.
Oh, okay. And I know who it is, but I have no need to see her on any television.
She's some musician.
Nothing Rob Schneider adjacent, or Rob Schneider. It counts. Okay.
Matt Leiner, so an NFL
former athlete. Yeah, I'll give that. Because, you know, I like when athletes look stupid.
Chase Hudson, who is some YouTuber named Little Huddy. Never heard of him. Don't care. Hilaria Baldwin.
Oh, that's Alec's daughter?
Wife.
Okay, wife. Yeah.
So that's the lineup.
And you know what? That's pretty good.
I thought it was a pretty good lineup.
Yeah.
And they sucked me in because the way they do it is they do trivia. They do logic puzzles. They do a physical challenge. And then they do what they call the final exam, where they ask questions. And if you get it wrong, you're dumb and you have to leave.
Okay.
And you build up, you earn these stars throughout the day that'll help you in the final thing. So if you get it right, the goal of this is you want to get it right. And if you're the last person standing, then you are not the nation's dumbest, and you are off the show.
Okay, so each episode,
one person leaves.
Okay.
And you want to leave.
So there's elimination. You want to prove yourself.
You want to prove that you're not the nation's dumbest.
You know what I think the problem with the lineup is? There doesn't seem to be enough diversity. We need someone who is over the top, homosexual on that panel. Like Match Game had Charles Nelson Reilly. You need someone like that. And I guess,
JoJo?
Maybe. I don't know. But I want to see someone like a Liberace on the panel. I mean, I know Liberace's dead, but that's, you know, that's the...
It's interesting because it's people who are good at certain things.
Yeah.
They're good in their category.
Liberace was a wonderful pianist.
And the very first thing they do is this silly logic test, which reminded me... The other thing is it reminded me of somewhat of the IQ test.
Okay.
Where they have these... The first one, they had these two ribbons hanging from, like... On like a swing set, too far apart for you to grab each side.
Bumper sticker wisdom says, "Yeah, I agree. One of they need Mario Cantone
or Mario Lopez."
Yeah, no, Mario Lopez. No, we don't ever need him. Mario Cantone is who we need. But so, how did the ribbon thing work?
So you have to figure out how to grab both ribbons when they're too far for you to reach and too far for you to grab one and go over to the other.
Uh huh.
So. And they don't tell you how to do it. They say, here, you can use any of these objects, and you got to figure out your way to do it. So it's like a logic thing.
Could you blow on the ribbon to make it swing towards you?
You could, if that would help. The answer ended up being tie something heavy to the ribbon so you would swing, and then give it a big swing so then it swings back to you while you're holding the first ribbon. And you
okay,
can
so
it.
I was actually not far. I didn't know what the tools
right,
were,
but
yeah, my theory was okay.
But it was interesting to see like smart people come in. And the way their brain works, they don't know how to handle that. And then you'd have dumb people who would figure it out in like record time, and the host would be like, "You got that so fast."
Is there a celebrity host that we would recognize?
Jack Whitehall.
Don't know him. I'm sorry.
He is a British comedian.
Oh, British people don't belong on American television. Why don't people know this? Send them back to Great Britain, which, by the way, isn't all that great.
Oh, he was. Oh, that's who he is. He's in The Burbs. He's the husband in The Burbs.
Okay, that's fine. Then all keep right. him on TV, but don't have him host a game show. That's not what we need. You know what that show needs? Tom Bergeron. Tom Bergeron would be great.
Yeah, no, he did fine. He was good.
Okay.
And then there's...
You know who would be a great host would be Elliot from Search Party.
He would be great. But one of the things is like they would give the celebrities like as a team... Mount Everest, and there's this giant world map, and you have to mark where Mount Everest is.
Okay.
And they would give different landmarks. Like, everyone knows the statue of Jesus is in Brazil.
Right.
So they would drop it there. But then you'd have someone, I think it was Carmen Electra, be like, I thought Mount Everest was in the United States. And sure. John Hader is like, are you serious?
Are you serious?
And it's just, it's great casting. It's a fun
little
game.
It's not in America, God.
And I watched it live with commercials and everything. And I don't know how much of that was soul related. But
at any point, did you like pause it so you could fast forward through some of the commercials?
Never thought of that.
Wow, Josh, you were like watching TV in the 1920s. Yeah.
And it had my attention enough that I was doing it the way I used to watch TV, where on a commercial break, you grab your phone. And then when the show comes back, you put your phone down.
They did, it was during the pandemic, I think ABC one night ran Raiders of the Lost Ark with commercials and old production elements that they would have run in the 1980s.
I'd sit there.
And I watched the whole thing, timed my bathroom breaks against the commercials. It was like being 15 again, but I don't think that kids today would be able to relate to it because it's not anything they ever dealt with. You know, I like that sort of throwback feeling occasionally, but I also love fast forwarding and rewinding.
I saw Netflix is giving you the ability to stream Stranger Things in a 4x3 square as if you're on an old TV.
Well, that's dumb.
And I don't understand the point of that and who would do that for more than 30 seconds except for these kids who didn't have that format, but then they have no nostalgia to be like, oh, yeah, it sucked for my kid.
You don't reverse engineer. I felt that way when they started letterboxing music videos. Duran Duran was big for this. They would letterbox their music videos, then put them on MTV, which was a 4:3 format. You have to have your software match your hardware, and it's stupid to not do that, but I don't want to get too old. Remember, folks, I think if there's nothing else we can pull away from this, please watch Search Party. And also, make sure you get your Slurpees if you have a headache.
Give Nation's Dumbest a try.
I have to ask, for someone that I can almost relate to, because I think we're in the same age bracket, how did Anthony Michael Hall do?
I think he did fine.
Good. Good.
He moved on.
Yeah.
The one that it was Rob Schneider's daughter that won the first episode. So I'll spoil that. Which means she won't be on the show anymore.
It means she takes after her mother is what it means. Because he's an idiot.
Well, you don't think you think he's really as dumb as the characters he plays?
I do. I think actually he plays smarter. Yeah. Hey, the game show host, the hostmeister, the smart guy.
We already went 51 minutes. We better take a break.
Oh my God, have we?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought that was 30. It's 50. Yeah. We'll do a break and we'll come back after this.
You know that we love Soul, and with good reason. They make delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products with precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulas designed for predictable feel-good effects. They have the amazing out-of-office gummies, the refreshing and delicious out-of-office drinks, and they even have THC oil drops. But now they have some new products that are truly next level. Soul now has out-of-office mood gummies, three new gummy varieties that are specifically formulated to reset your routine, one vibe at a time. You can get uplift for a little boost, balance to keep things nice and steady, or mellow, because sometimes we all need to take it down a notch. Mood gummies are where it's at. Remember, all of Soul's best-selling out-of-office gummies deliver a customizable calming buzz. It's the easiest way to unwind without the grogginess or next day regret of alcohol. You wake up feeling rested, relaxed, and ready to go. Josh and Rob swear by them, so don't be a dummy. Buy a gummy. Ugh. Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off.
Now, am I speaking out of school if I say now would be a great time to stock up on Soul products?
Yeah. In fact, we can share this.
This is going to be,
a producer's club note for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Next week, we will have the CEO of Soul
great
on the show to talk about. There's some legislation change. Oh, I screwed that word up.
Legislation.
But there's some law changes coming in November that really screw with the whole THC industry.
It's going to be an exciting interview. The CEO, we're going to have him figure out how to grab two ribbons that are too far away from each other.
And, I bet he could do it.
I know he could. He's brilliant. Soul products are amazing. And if you want them, now would be a great time to grab them. All right. Big announcement. I know we've talked about this in the past a little bit, but I was able to finalize this last night. The Scooby-Doo Escape Room. We talked about it, and there was tremendous interest. I got lots of emails, lots of messages.
I'm interested.
I think we all are. Mark Schaefer, who runs two different escape rooms. The one we're interested in is in Fairfax. It is called Escapeology. You can check it out at escapeology.com. Mark has been so helpful and flexible on our schedule because basically I said, we want to do this, but Josh is only able to do it on the 26th of July because that's the day of a gay game.
Well, I have this plan already scheduled where I'm flying to Baltimore. I meet every year my dad and brother and I meet somewhere. Last year it was Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Matt rode a bike and walked instead of taking an Uber.
I remember.
So this year we are hitting Baltimore because we haven't been there to many games there for 2 days. And then before we hit Detroit. So while in Baltimore, I said I could sneak down on Sunday night because Sundays are day games. So I've got the night free.
And they were able to schedule this at a time we can do it. It's going to be July 26th. That's a Sunday, 8:30. So you have to get there before 8:30 in Fairfax, Virginia. There will be a Scooby-Doo escape room, and there will also be one that looks really cool. It is like a Murder on the Orient Express escape room where it actually looks like you're in an old train and you have to solve the mystery. We can take probably about 12 to 14 people. It's sort of flexible. So I appreciate everyone that's reached out so far, but I'm clearing the decks. If you are interested knowing the new date, which is Sunday the 26th at 8:30 p.m., send me an email, Rob, R-O-B-B, at Mike O'Mara Show. Leave out the Rob, R-O-B-B, at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and we will set it up. It's not going to cost you anything. They're actually covering it. Beautiful Escapeology. Mark Schaefer is covering the event.
I know. That's awesome.
Yeah. So everyone gets to come and just have a great, and it's a great value. Come on out and have fun.
Yeah. We'll decide kind of how we'll do it when we before we get there.
There will be a competitive aspect to it, and there'll be a prize of some sort. So
It'll either be a competition inside the same room, or each of us lead a team and we'll dick it down. I texted my family members to invite them yesterday.
And
I got a no from my sister, a no from my brother-in-law,
and
no response from my dad or brother. I will be coming on my own.
I would love to meet the aforementioned John Stroka. So tell him that if he comes, it would mean a lot to me.
I think he's fighting the drive to Fairfax.
Well, you would do the drive. I mean, has to, and you're not even driving. It could be your Tesla that does the driving.
No, I'm flying to Baltimore.
Damn it.
So I'm borrowing my brother-in-law's car.
But there is room for you. It'll be a fun evening, and I'm excited to get a chance to hang with Josh, and we'll record some stuff that we'll cover on the show the next day. You've done escape rooms or not?
No, I've never done an escape room.
I've done a couple of them, and they can be fun. It depends largely on the people you're with that can make it really fun. But I am a Scooby-Doo fan,
so
I'm up for this. I think this will be a blast.
Yeah, and if I'm in the Murder at the Orient room, no problem. I will do my best to ruin it for everyone.
I want you to wear a train conductor's hat.
Three trivia things ahead.
That's what happened to me at the one that I did in downtown DC.
Yeah, everyone got mad at you because you were smarter than the room.
Well, I spotted one of the clues. It was like, for anyway. So just to get an idea of what we're up to see, look at this. This is just a little social video, but anyone who is, you know, sort of involved in the Scooby-Doo lore, you're going to like what you see.
You're looking for a fun activity? Then you have to check out Escapeology. They have a Scooby-Doo themed escape room, and it was so much fun. I felt like I was reliving all my childhood memories, solving these mysteries alongside Scooby-Doo and the gang. All of the rooms were so detailed, and you really felt like you were immersed in an episode and trying to solve the mystery. This is the perfect activity for any Scooby-Doo fans, whether you're hanging out with your friends, going on a fun date night, or having some family fun. The third room really threw me for a loop, and I wasn't sure if we were going to make it, but we ended up escaping with 21 minutes left. Let me know what your escape room record is, and check out Escapeology.com to find the location in the U.S. nearest you.
I just can't wait to do it. I think it's going to be a blast.
It's going to be great.
Zoink, Scoob, like we're meeting. We're meeting there. Boy.
You gonna dress up as Shaggy?
No, I'm gonna dress up as Fred right. Jones. I have a kerchief. How old were you when you realized that the voice of this might just be a me thing? The voice of Shaggy was Casey Kasem from the radio.
That's a you thing. There was a point where I was a kid where I realized many of these cartoons have the same voice.
Yeah, that Shaggy would be the same voice as Robin.
But I don't
think I
don't think I knew it was Casey JJ, or not Casey JJ.
Casey JJ, my favorite disc jockey.
I don't think I knew it was Casey until I was an adult.
I love the fact that the DJ Casey JJ used to give us $10,000 a month.
$10,000 a month.
I love that.
Somehow the checks never arrived, but they kept sending them.
Okay, Scoob, here we are. We're going to go in to an escape room. Yeah. So cool. Casey Kasem is one of the, I don't even know where it is, one of the autographed pictures that I keep in my office. Yeah, he's dead now. Now, we took so much time. We need to take a break. But when we come back, I'm so mad at Dr. Phil. We'll discuss it when we return. This is a Jar episode of The Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, fudge cutters, Mike O'Mara here. I want to share something my wife Carla is really excited about at DermGlow Skin. Peptides. Peptides are natural compounds in your body that act as messengers, helping with things like repair, metabolism, sleep, and energy. Now you can supplement them all. Partnering with a trusted telehealth partner, DermGlow gives you access to doctor-prescribed peptides in all 50 states. It's simple. Take a quick online quiz, get approved, and your order ships straight to your door. Peptides can improve your energy, metabolism, and cellular health. Detox and skin support, hair, skin, and scalp health, better sleep, and the Wolverine stack for recovery and healing. And of course, GLP-1s for weight loss. Whether you're trying to lose 30 plus pounds or just the last 5, there are programs and microdosing options to help with benefits like reduced cravings and better blood sugar balance. Everything is prescribed by licensed doctors, safely and conveniently. If you're low on energy, struggling with weight, not sleeping well, or just not feeling your best, there may be a peptide that can help you. Visit DermGlowSkin.com and click the weight loss and peptides to get started. DermGlowSkin.com, helping you feel better from the inside out.
Do you think that Sol Gummies, before the legislation changes, do you think they could make some Scooby snacks?
I think they pretty much are Scooby snacks.
And what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see? I just got a text, a hot text from my son, Robert. You know, he and Carrie are teaching summer school together. And the special needs kids that they have for summer school are younger. They normally teach high school. These are elementary age, 8, 9, and 10. And there's always one kid that sort of sticks out that has, as I say, personality plus. I love hearing about this kid every day. His name is Sam. And I just got a hot text from Robert that says, Sam keeps saying that mom looks like a donut. No idea what it means, but he says it's a compliment. So I guess,
you know what that's like.
If you want, if you really want to woo that lady in your life, tell her she looks like a donut.
I think she looks like a candy bar with a hole in the middle.
Stop it. That's not what she looks like at all. And big news, actually. Carrie will probably be at the escape room. You know, she doesn't attend a lot of these shows, sanctioned events. Well,
this one sounds fun.
It does sound fun. I can't get her.
Rob.
What?
I know you want to talk about Dr. Phil.
I do. I hate
it. I have to derail you, though.
Okay, fine.
Because I would rather you talk about your plans for Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just got another hot text from Gary Stein, the co-host of You Gotta Be Kidding Me, asking if we could record on Saturday, and I sadly can't. How often do I get to say I have plans? I got a text from the King's Dominion director of PR. Now, this actually, it's not just King's Dominion, it's Six Flags all told. A really cool guy named Kyle Perez that helped us set up Hour Under the Tower. He's very, very helpful, and he is the one that dubbed me an ambassador, which is, you know, very, very big deal to me. There is an influencers only by invitation event Saturday at King's Dominion, and I have been invited to go. And
what have they told you about this event?
That you register, that they will provide parking, park admission for you and up to three guests. Unfortunately, I don't think I will be bringing any guests because I don't have any friends. But food, drink, swag, and exclusive access to all of the entertainment. They're trying to spotlight the entertainment at the park. Now, we saw the Cirque du Soleil-like show, which was pretty good. It was a lot of fun. And then there's also a live band. You saw some of the water parade. I saw the water parade.
Yes.
And then also what I'm most excited about is Saturday night they're keeping the park open until 10 for Light the Night, which is fireworks. And they do a great job with fireworks down there. And also a chance to have speed pass access so you can walk on to any ride you want to walk on to. So I'll get to ride my coasters and have a good time. The weather looks not oppressively hot, but a chance of thunderstorms. But since it's in the evening, we might duck that. But I will absolutely go down to KD by myself.
Is there a presentation for influencers?
I don't know. I've never been I have, you know, asked them for tickets many times before. But I have never once, even when my best friend was running the PR for the park, I was never invited to the park. So this is going to be very exciting for me. And all I've got to do, folks, I'm going to be posting socials this weekend on my story, I guess it is. Make sure you click like because it makes me look like a big shot. That's all. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I need you to send me, don't post this publicly.
Okay.
But I need you to send me a picture from the park.
Of what?
Of the other influencers. I'll pose
with
them.
Yeah, I will definitely pose with the other ambassadors.
I want to see what type of people are King's Dominion ambassadors.
Now, I have a prediction, and you may want to write this down and seal it in an envelope and mail it to yourself. Here is my prediction. It's going to be a lot of people that wear black T-shirts and maybe black jeans.
No,
you don't think so?
No, what do you think? I think moms. I think mom blogs.
Oh, could be.
That's my theory.
I also want to find out which influencer is the most like the characters on the show Search Party, currently showing on Netflix. I bet you I can definitely find a Portia and an Elliot influencer. I don't think I can find a Dory. I might be able to find
you're not going to have enough time to find a Dory, you will find a Drew.
I will definitely find. Drew might be working there.
Yes.
Do you think I'll be able to get on the microphone again?
No.
But keep in mind, folk, the reason that it's important that you support this is that if I look like a big shot there, we are closer to getting my dream come true, which would be the King's Dominion podcast. And as the founders, co-founders of, well, no, I mean, Josh founded it, it allowed me to come along for the ride, of the Podcaster's Warehouse, one of our big things that we've always been shocked is that King's Dominion does not have their own official podcast.
Right.
And they should.
And you would be the perfect host.
I would be the perfect host.
And say what events are coming up.
Yeah. And if you spend time on the King's Dominion Facebook pages, and there's some that there's, I think, an official, of course, and then there's a lot of fan driven ones, they'll be updated throughout the day. Like, the Grizzly is slow today, or they've closed down Dominator, or something like that.
Right.
This is all things, these are all things that should be on the podcast. Parking tips. And of course, the fact that I still know the one place in the park that's selling blue ice cream.
Yeah, it's in a stupid location.
It's in a bad location, but we found it, and it's great. It's still delicious. So yeah, that'll be this weekend. And, you know, I don't know. I know they're not closing down the park. So if you're just, you know, genuine rabble that want to go and, you know, hang with the regular attendees at King's Dominion, you know, look for me and I'll buy you a turkey leg if you spot me. First person, I'll buy you a turkey leg. And remember, King's Dominion is now a cashless park. So bring your card. But I look forward. Thank you for bringing it up, Josh. I'm very excited about it. I hate to admit how excited I was to get the invitation.
You should be. You've put in a lot of work there.
I've been going there for 50 years. Yeah. And don't think every time I reach out to anyone that's above, like someone who runs a ride, I always attach a picture of myself from the 1970s to prove that I've been going there that long. And I look different because I was shorter then. But they all believe it. So
you should print out the picture, put it in a frame, and bring it with you.
You know what? I wonder if there's time to get it on a T-shirt.
There's plenty of time.
That would be a great T-shirt.
That'd be pretty funny.
I would like that. I would like that very, very much. Okay. Right. So
how about we take another quick break here, and then we talk Dr. Phil.
I would love to talk Dr. Phil. So yeah, let's take a break. We've got another pre-record here. Yeah. So yeah, let's do the spot, and we'll be back. This is the Jar Show.
Friends, a quick warning. Beware of the takers. You know the type. They listen to the free show Monday through Thursday and give nothing back. Tisk, tisk. For shame. But us, we're different. We're the givers. We give you the bonus show every Friday. We've got the goods, unfiltered, unrestricted, all access and fun. Because more access means more laughs. You deserve the good stuff, the extra stuff. We're talking TMOS extras. Unpredictable bonus content you won't find anywhere else. Or go big with the commercial free feed, complete with the bonus show every single week. Sign up today because your bonus subscription keeps this whole party rolling. You fuel the fun and we keep it coming. So smash that bonus show tab at MikeOmeraShow.com and jump in. The water's fine. Be a giver. It feels great and the laughs are guaranteed.
Josh, you look like a donut. I'm just being complimentary.
donut. I would love to know, and you will never know what that actually means.
No, but he's the sweetest kid. He's the sweetest kid. I love hearing about him.
Unless she comes home with like khaki pants and a pink top.
What? Like a Homer Simpson donut?
Like a Homer Simpson donut.
What if for some reason her stomach was gone and she just had a hole through the middle of her? That'd be sad, right?
Or she was wearing one of those donut costumes.
Yeah, well, you know, that's anything to get the kids' attention. All right.
Why doesn't she do that? Go to school tomorrow in a donut costume and just play it like it's normal.
I know for a fact that substitute teachers make really good money, and summer school teachers make even better money. That's why teachers do summer school. There ain't enough money in the world to make her go into her classroom in a donut costume. I'm sorry, it's not happening. Okay, you've bought a house. You've bought a car.
I've bought multiple cars, multiple houses.
Dubes, I do need a sash. As a matter of fact, before I go to Saturday, when I go to Kings of Maine on Saturday, it just says pretty lady.
It can say ambassador.
Ambassador. But the word ass will be in a different color.
Yes.
When you buy your car, I think it's pretty much standard procedure now that after you work your deal and they get you to buy your California emission and your, I can't think of the name of the process that seals your car paint, which
the undercoating.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that the paint sealant is already applied because if you try to unbuy it, they almost don't let you do it. It's like already there. They just want to charge you for it.
I believe it was the undercoating that they always promote to you because you need it for the ice.
You need
it because of salt. Yeah. And they tried to sell it to me down here years ago. And I said, but there's no snow and ice. Why would I need that?
It's the salt from the margaritas.
And what they said,
get you in Florida.
They said, well, what if you drive up north? And I'm like, what?
I mostly go up north in the summertime.
I've done it many times.
So, but they really want to get you on the extended warranty.
Yes,
they do. On things like, I remember being told when we bought the Outback, they said, this is a great car. It is dependable, solid as a rock. If you change the oil every 4,000 miles, you'll never have to worry about anything. I said, great. And I signed the paper. And they said, however, after they have the ink isn't dry yet. And they say, however, if that, computer console in the middle with the touch screen goes bad, that's $9,000, $10,000, $12,000. So you may want to buy this extended warranty.
Right.
I hate that. And
you know what those warranties don't cover?
What?
The transmission.
Exactly.
Because that's what happened to me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you got rooked into it. I've done it before. Yeah. I'm past it now. I think even worse than car warranties are home warranties.
I have insurance. Why do I need a home warranty?
Yeah, because if your air conditioning or something goes out. Well, okay. I don't appreciate all of these things. I think that in the days of my grandparents and parents, if something broke, you fixed it.
I had a home warranty.
Okay.
Because here is what they do with the home warranty.
Yeah.
The real estate agents, they are the ones that love the home warranty because what they do is they say, hey, if instead of giving you this markup and lowering the price, we'll throw in a home warranty. So then you'll have nothing to worry about for the next year.
Nothing to worry about. Except for the fact that entire year, if you need it, is spent jumping through the hoops to find someone who will do it.
My air conditioning broke.
Right.
And my fridge broke. I had two things break in this condo I bought with the home warranty.
Mm-hmm.
The fridge, they kept sending guys out and being like, it's okay. It's okay.
How could they say that?
Because they'd come out and be like, oh, well, that temperature's close enough. And I'm like, but it won't be tomorrow. Trust me. And they come back and they tweak something and over and over again. Then I had the HVAC guy come out because the unit broke.
Right.
And they said, oh, yeah, you need a whole new unit. I'm like, all right, great. Well, we got to clear that with the warranty company.
Yeah. And then it's a whole, it becomes, it, as the kids say, it becomes a whole thing.
It took almost 6 months.
And I appreciate the fact that Ice-T and many other reputable Hollywood stars will endorse these things. But the Dr. Phil one really got me. Let's look at this Dr. Phil commercial. And there's one sentence that made me actually rewind my television to look at it again.
To the last time you got your car repaired, I'm going to go ahead and guess that you weren't thrilled with the price. That's because you didn't have CarShield. With CarShield, you pay a little now so you can save a lot later.
By the way, it gives his credit as TV host, author, CarShield user.
Your hard-earned money on car repairs, get a plan, like me.
I've been a car shield.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. I talked over it.
Oh, that's.
Don't waste your hard earned money on car repairs. Get a plan like me.
I've been a car shield customer for over 5 years, and it saved me over $13,000. And my rate has never gone up.
Yeah.
I have saved over $8,000 total.
Here's the truth, your out of warranty vehicle is going to break down, and you could save
thousands.
That's
the shadiest repair shop behind him.
I know, and it's such. This is financial terrorism. Your car is going to break down.
Up to 5,000 parts and systems. They also include money saving benefits like 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, courtesy towing, and rental car options. Lock in your rate today with the price.
By the way, a rental car option is not saying you're going to get a rental car.
Right.
It's just an option.
Not guaranteed. Make the smart decision. Call CarShield now.
CarShield has saved drivers more than $1 billion in car repairs. Call and get your free quote. Call 800-779-7811.
Now, I love the fact that the whole takeaway from that spot is Dr. Phil saying, be like me and get CarShield. Yeah. Can you imagine Dr. Phil driving like some beater, like a 1978 Nova in the middle of the night and it breaks down? He's like, I got to get towing options. Phil doesn't do that.
No, if I had Dr. Phil money, when my car breaks down, it's dead to me.
Yeah, buy a new car.
And I make a phone call. When are you delivering the new car and getting rid of this junk?
And if he had, and I mean, he could have even been stupid with his money, and he still has enough money to live the rest of his
100%,
life. 100%, yes. He doesn't need CarShield.
No.
Does he think that somehow
but apparently he needs the CarShield money.
Well, he does need CarShield money. He needs towing options. Right. But do you think, how great would it be if you're like driving home one night, it's like 11:30, midnight, and you look on the side of the road and a car's broken down, maybe it's jacked up, the flashers are on, and it's Dr. Phil. I should have gotten CarShield.
He didn't even go out of his home to shoot that commercial. It's a green screen behind him.
It's a green screen of a shady repair shop.
When do you think the last time his Dr. Phil even drove a car? You know he's got a driver.
He does have a driver. I wonder what kind of car, if he could, I bet he would have like the biggest Cadillac SUV. That would be his thing, and not an electric one.
When I've worked in many rich people's homes.
Yes.
And my favorite bit is they have really expensive cars.
Yeah.
And then they don't drive it. They have a driver show up to the house to then drive that car for them.
Oh, so they don't.
So the driver, it's like calling an Uber, except you already own
the
car. You're
just calling a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, the whole thing, I mean, I think Dr. Phil would be a better spokesperson for a home repair insurance policy, because I don't see him ever sweating. He would buy a car before he would get an oil change.
Agreed. He's not the great spokesperson. And I guarantee that CarShield helps some people.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not like 100% of a scam, but all extended warranties are a little bit of a scam.
Well, I mean, sometimes people win at roulette. Sometimes they do. But they don't often. And CarShield, stars and planets have to align for one of those insurance. I can't tell. I've bought them before, and you go in and they say, oh, this covers this, but this is your problem. We don't cover that.
Right. I think it's on the bonus show tomorrow that Mike mentions how he loves his Apple Care.
Yeah.
And for someone like Mike that breaks things all the time, breaks his Apple products, might not be the most gentle.
Yeah.
It's a great deal.
And you know what? Apple Care is one that I do endorse, because if you use it once, it pays for itself.
It does.
But
and
if you're buying something
like this.
But if you like to go to Best Buy and you're buying a pair of headphones and they're saying, you know, for $9, we'll cover these headphones for 3 years, I'm willing to take the risk.
Here's the deal. All those warranties, they give you a simple 3 year, 2 year, like you know where your limit is.
Yeah.
All these my problem with car warranties is they're based on year or mileage or weather, whatever. There's so many restrictions to make sure that when you actually have to go to cash out, they can't help you.
Oh, is this Best Buy? This is Phil McGraw. Listen, these headphones are no good. I paid $9 and I'd like to get replacement headphones. And by the way, I can't drive there because my car's broken. Dr. Phil in a 1972 Volkswagen Beetle.
Phil.
And is he still, Mike brought up a valid point. I know he's in reruns. Does he still do a show? I don't think he does. I think he lives in the cottage on Oprah's property. He's kind of like her Kato Kaelin, isn't he? He just hangs around.
I think he got enough money to spin off of that, and he is fine. He did much better than Steve Wilcox.
Oh, that's true.
From Jerry.
I remember him,
Let's see. Original syndication of Dr. Phil ended in May 2023 after a 21-season run.
And my dishwasher's broken. Can anyone come out here and fix my dishwasher?
He had a new show. No, it still does. It's just changed production companies. That started in 2024 called Dr. Phil Primetime.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. I would like Dr. Phil After Dark, where he's shirtless. Today we're going to get sexy.
I mean, isn't that what primetime would be?
I would think so.
I asked, how do I watch Dr. Phil primetime? It said, you can see clips on YouTube, but check your TV channel finder to figure out where to watch it.
I subscribe to that.
Doesn't even have a network.
Yeah, I like my TV channel finder. Bumper sticker wisdom says, Dr. Phil's cars smell like farts. I'm not going to dispute that. I'm not at all going to dispute that. I will look for Dr. Phil at King's Dominion on Saturday. I might see him there. You never can tell.
He could be an ambassador.
This roller coaster is broken. You better call Roller Coaster Shield and get it fixed. That's what you need to do. Dr. Phil, make better choices. Be better. If you want to cover something, cover the Slurpee machine. Slurpee machines are always breaking.
I think we should have a new rule.
Okay. And new rule.
Yeah. New. And you know what? Congress is going to have to pass this as a law.
Okay.
So it. I don't think they ever do anything, so it won't happen.
What?
But I would like every time there's a TV commercial.
Right.
With a spokesperson.
Yeah.
It has to say, Dr. Phil, author, Car Shield user, we paid $2 million.
I'd love to see the compensation. I mean, even if it says compensated endorser, I want to see the money.
Yeah, I want the number.
Yeah. You're like Cuba Gooding Jr. Show me the money.
And then I know they'll do shady things where we paid him zero, but somehow he got $2 million richer. But force you to show something on how this guy was compensated. Even if it's super fast, like you're going to die and have diarrhea at the end of medical things. The same type of thing, super fast at the end. Dr. Phil was endorsed by this. He was given Car Shield for free. We paid him $2 million to stand in front of a green screen. We're done.
My key fob is broken. I can't get my key fob to work. Should have gotten my new key fob. Josh, I have a question. Do you love movies, but you feel you haven't seen all the movies you should have seen in your life?
I wish there was a podcast that filled in all those holes of classic movies that I have never seen.
Do you really wish that?
I don't know that you really do.
Yeah, I know. You can fix this. You can fill this empty void in your life by buying Car Shield. No. By listening to a free podcast called Hicks Nicks Sticks Picks, hosted by myself and my good buddy Josh. It is described by many. I don't necessarily choose this this phrase because I think it's self-aggrandizing, but it's a podcast about Rob's movies.
It is the second best movie podcast out of the Speedwack family.
Thank you. I still haven't heard from him. Have you heard from him?
No, I have not either. Okay. I have to follow up.
Well, I don't know that you do. But in any case, we take a movie, sometimes obscure, sometimes not obscure, but all, to my eyes, classic movies that should be seen, and we discuss them. I force Josh to watch them. Now, they say, where did this idea come from? It literally came from a fever dream when I had COVID. I said I could make Josh watch movies that he would never watch, and then we can talk about it. And you've liked some of them.
I have. Yes. It always makes me laugh to see when I'm uploading a new episode or whatever, to see the slogan on iTunes or whatever that says, a podcast about Rob's movies.
It really is. It is so selfish. Movies. It is so selfish. But some of the movies that I think people would go their entire life without seeing, it's important that they watch them and hear about them. Now, the one that is currently up is a movie that I adore. My father loved it. Many film historians agree with me. Josh does not. It is called The Sweet Smell of Success. And I think it is one of the, for a 60-year-old movie, it approaches some really modern themes. But Josh hated it.
This is the worst movie I've watched, yes.
I'll quote you. It's the worst movie you've ever seen. That's what you said.
Yeah.
So, you did.
Had trouble following the plot. Had trouble paying attention. Had trouble caring. Had trouble. The only thing good is it's in New York City and it's black and white and it looks beautiful.
I love the fact that I think this podcast is best when we argue, and you come out with a strong opinion that I disagree with. And this movie and this episode is fantastic. So check it out. It's available wherever you get your podcast. It's available on the YouTube. So smash like and please follow us.
Hicks Nicks is the complete opposite of the sweet smell of success.
It is.
It is not boring. It is not slow, but it is dialogue driven.
Yeah, it is dialogue driven, and we're very quotable. So yeah, do check it out. And also, I'm excited because our next movie that will drop sometime next week is Roller Coaster, which was largely shot, about a third of it was shot at King's Dominion in 1976.
I'm excited to watch that one.
I think you will enjoy it. It's got the great George Segal and, of course, the band Sparks.
Never heard of them.
Disc jockey Charlie Tuna? Anything?
Hey, no. Okay. But Bumper Stick Wisdom suggests fix this with Hicks Nicks Six Picks. And I think that might be something to roll into. Hicks Nicks is a Hicks Nicks Fix This, where we tell you what we would have done to fix the movie.
I love that.
I think it's a fun idea.
I like that. I know what you would have done to fix Sweet Smell of Success, which is make it about 2 minutes long.
I would have bought it with physical media so I could throw it out the window.
Remember, it is available as a Criterion release, and you will love it. Oh, beautiful video, folks.
Hey, preferred. I like that. Some beautiful video.
Cherry time.
Okay, Ira Glass, he is a very popular podcaster, radio guy.
NPR
right?
guy.
Yeah. He does the show, what is it called? All things is it not All Things Considered,
and it's not This American Life.
It is This American
Life.
Is
it all right?
Okay, I saw this. This really made me laugh. This is if This American Life and Ira Glass did a series on NPR about the show Full House. You remember the show Full House? Bob
Very
Saget.
Familiar.
Yeah, this would be the intro to that.
What do you do when you're a sportscaster whose wife has passed away suddenly, and you're stuck raising three daughters in bustling San Francisco? Well, we talked to one man who had an unorthodox approach. He brought in two new roommates to help, a party boy named Jesse and a stand-up comic named Joey. On today's program, Full House, Act One, Everywhere You Look. Stay with us when our program continues.
I think that's pretty good.
It's got the feel. There's definitely a podcast or two that I'll listen to that has that same exact intro. The music throws me off a little bit there.
Well, the fact that he's driving in a car doesn't help.
And the car, but he's got the idea. The bit works.
Yeah. A question. Without Mike would say I ruin everything, but I'll say this. When it comes to things that I find attractive in the female form, I like tall women. Carrie is 5'10". I think it's very attractive to see a tall, statuesque woman. I do think it can be taken too far, and I'm not sure exactly how this ended up on my Instagram feed.
Taken too far.
Her name is Giant Mama Haley.
Okay.
As I said, Carrie is 5'10". That's pretty tall. I used to be 6'2". Now I'm closer to 6'1" because I have no hair and I'm aging.
I'm always taken back when I see a woman as tall as me.
Okay. Well, you're going to love Giant Mama Haley. How tall would you say a tall woman? When does a woman become really tall? At what height?
6 foot.
Okay.
I would say.
Haley would qualify because she is 7'5" tall.
Okay.
And this almost looks like it's special effects, but there are so many different videos of her in different situations. I believe that she is in excess of 7 feet tall.
Yo, Haley, can you grab the remote for me real quick?
Watch out for the ceiling fan.
What?
Bro. The fan just took you out! Now this happens every single day, guys.
Wait, so someone turned on the fan on her?
Yeah, well, I think it's part of the gag. But
I guess, you know what? It's not too bad because it was off. I've ran into a ceiling fan full speed and it was not good.
Oh, yeah, it hurts. It does. But really, really, just look at the height here. And I'll pause it. That's a standard 8 foot ceiling, which is really 7.5 feet.
She is a giant. That can't be real. It's real.
I wanted it to not be real. But yeah, if you want to take a look at her, her name is, again, she's on Instagram as Giant Mama Haley. You should see her in a parking deck. It looks like a Japanese horror movie from the 50s. Bless her heart. She's lovely. She's just very tall.
The average WNBA height is 6'1".
Well, she would do quite well, wouldn't she? It surprised me. That's all. It just surprised me. That's where we're at.
So, yeah. So how tall did you say she was?
7'5".
That's too tall.
It is too tall.
I would like to see her boyfriend.
You know what? Upon watching it, I did not see a lot of people that would be her boyfriend. Maybe, you know what? It's hard to find a partner in these days and ages. So maybe that's the problem. Let's move on from Giant Baby Haley.
It might be hard to move on.
Yeah, it will be. She's got to get cathedral ceilings. That's really what it boils down to. Yacht Rock. It's not as hot now as it was. And I think the two defining characteristics of Yacht Rock, someone once explained it to me, is music for rich white people doing cocaine on a boat. But I always think the real common threads are slick production, something to do with Michael McDonald, and saxophone solos.
Okay. Yeah, and that sounds about right.
I've always stood by, and you've heard this on the show, that if a song is good, if it is a well-written song, it can survive in different formats and with different variants. What if we put a sax solo in the... You remember the Sheryl Crow song, All I Want to Do? I think it was 94 or so, big hit.
Yeah, All I Want to Do. Yeah.
Yeah, Have Some Fun.
Have Some Fun.
What if we put a sax solo in it? Do you think it would work? Does it work as a yacht rock record?
I say yes. It's going to work. That'll work.
Watch, this is great. Obviously, he's a very talented saxophone player, but I almost feel after hearing it, that's a layer that song is missing. I think it sounds great.
Until the end, he needed to come out of it better.
Yeah.
He needed the sax needed to end right when the lyrics come back.
Yeah. Fun fact, a song you don't know called Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty has a sax solo at the front of it that only exists there because the lead guitarist that was hired to do the guitar solo didn't show to the session. And so they had a guy there that could play saxophone, and they did instead. Not only did it work, it kind of launched Yacht Rock. So sometimes when you don't, sometimes the best thing you can do is not show up. Anyway, there's that. Happy birthday, America. I don't know if you were aware of this, but on July 4th, we celebrated the 250th birthday.
That's a long time.
It is for the United States. I've been around for about a fifth of it, and a lot of it's been great. In 1970, there was a television special. I'd never heard of this. It was hosted by John Wayne, famous Hollywood cowboy, and it was called Swing Out Sweet Land. And it was sort of a comical, all-star-studded salute to the United States. I only play this because I want you to say yes or no.
Oh, so this was in 76, so this was like...
No, this is 1970. But
they couldn't just hold it in their pants for six more years?
Well, I think that John Wayne was almost... I don't think he could have done it in 76. Okay. But they had this idea. They did it. I want you to just say yes or no as to whether or not you've heard about the people that they introduce as the stars of the show. Because I think that you're going to say no more times than you say. Now, granted, it aired before you were born, but still, these are some pretty big Hollywood stars. So remember, yes if you've heard of them, no if you haven't.
John Wayne, starring in...
Good, yes.
Swing Out, Sweet Land. With Anne Margaret.
Yes.
Lucille Ball.
Yes.
Jack Benny.
Yes.
Dan Blocker.
No.
Roscoe Lee Brown.
Yes.
Glenn Campbell.
Yes.
Johnny Cash.
Yes.
Roy Clark.
Yes.
Bing Crosby.
Yes.
Wow.
Phyllis Diller.
No.
The Doodletown Pipers.
No.
Lorne Greene.
No.
Celeste Holm.
No.
Bob Hope.
Yes.
Michael Landon.
No.
Dean Martin.
Yes.
Ross Martin.
No.
Greg Morris.
No.
David Nelson.
No.
Rick Nelson.
No.
Hugh O'Brien.
No.
Dan Rowan and Dick Martin.
No.
William Shatner.
Yes.
Red Skelton.
Yes.
Tommy Smothers.
No.
Leslie Uggams.
No.
And Dennis Weaver.
No.
You did better than I thought you would.
Really distracting with the Yankee Doodle Dandy song going in
background. I know. And also, all NBC stars, obviously an NBC special, you may not have picked up on it, but the announcer, Ed McMahon from The Tonight Show, was actually the booth announcer for that because it was sponsored by Budweiser. And Ed loved his Budweiser.
And this was a real show?
It was a real show. And it aired in 1970. And upon a quick Google search.
Is Shatner the only one still alive?
I'm trying to think. Maybe. Tommy Smothers is still alive, I think. Dan Blocker, dead. Lucille Ball, dead. I could go through and do Living or Dead. That would take too long. But it was the number one rated show of network television that week. It even was a bigger draw than Are You Stupid or whatever the show you watched. What's that show called?
Nation's Dumbest, which when I put in to get that, I went to ChatGPT and I said, give me the cast of Nation's Dumbest so I'd have it for the show. And I just noticed later in the show, I looked over at my computer and it said at the bottom, it said, I'd recommend this show to you because you like Taskmaster, so you should like this show.
Wow.
And I was like, oh. Wow. You are correct, ChatGPT. What else should I be watching?
I would not let ChatGPT choose my television. Okay. Anyway, so that is called A Swing Out Sweet Land. I found it very curious. The entire special is on YouTube. You can watch it.
Thank you.
George Burns is in it as well, although he's not credited. Let's close with this. There's a comic named Bob Alper, and he's not particularly famous, and his material is not particularly strong, with the exception of this. One of my all-time favorite Jewish jokes. We close with this, everybody. This is comedian Bob Alper.
A Frenchman, a German, and a Jew are trudging through the desert. The Frenchman says, I'm so tired, I'm so thirsty, I must have wine. The German says, I'm so tired, I'm so thirsty, I must have beer. The Jewish guy says, I'm so tired, I'm so thirsty, I must have diabetes.
And yes, I would have played that if Mike was here.
Yes.
I like it.
That was fun.
Thank you, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode of JAR, the Josh and Rob Show. Mike will be back on Monday. Until then, we have a great bonus for you tomorrow. We have a TMOS Classic, which is really all over the board. On Friday, I invite you to take a look. Someone in the chat room today said, one of the standard old jokes, I haven't listened in a while. Where's Buzz? Well, if you listen to TMOS Classic, you're going to hear Buzz. You'll enjoy that.
Good.
Also, over this weekend, check out your feed, bonus show viewers or listeners for the Dude and Doug interview that I did with Dude Walker and Doug Limerick.
That'll be Sunday.
Sunday it'll drop. The first long-term interview they have done since they left the radio together in 1982. It was a thrill for me, and I think you will enjoy it.
And don't forget the Producers Club tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
We have so much content going on right now.
11 o'clock for producers tomorrow?
11 o'clock tomorrow.
Let's do it. Josh, this is always fun. Thank you for talking Slurpees with me.
Thank you.
And we will be back next week. Mike, have a great cruise. And to my godson, little Michael O'Mara, have a happy birthday, guy. You are a great kid with your new Pete Davidson haircut. We will talk to you later. So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Love you, Pop.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.